Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
G'day, welcome to On The Mic. Today, one of the greatest All Blacks of all time, the Maori Rugby Player of the Year, All Black number 1043. He does leadership clinics. He's a rugby education ambassador. He's a Commonwealth Games gold medalist. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Rico Gear. Corona bump.
Here we go.
I can't reach it with my elbow. Mate, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Not too bad.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
Good to see you in the flesh. Normally, I'm just watching you from the stadium or watching you on TV.
Saw the light and came over to Australia.
Yeah, you did. You're living on the Gold Coast now. Your beautiful little family.
Yep, been out a couple of years, so now really enjoying it.
Oh, that's cool, man. Well, a lot I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about your incredible career as an All Black, playing all over the world, playing in Japan, playing in the Commonwealth Games. What you're doing now after the All Blacks. You got a few exciting things lined up. Also, want to talk to you about training. You're training some kids teams and a lot of work that you're doing with drills and you're starting to become world renowned for some of those little programs that you're creating. And I hear there might even be an app in the works, which is really exciting.
Yeah, no, it is. I think obviously the time we're in at the moment, there's quite a lot going on, but there's certainly opportunities there as well, and looking at doing things for other people, and so it is exciting. Mm. With what's ahead with the app and stuff.
So, mate, what was it like to be an All Black?
Yeah, I mean, you grow up because in New Zealand it's our number one sport, so to be fair, you can't really get away from it.
Yeah.
So every opportunity there for us to achieve that. But it is something that I always wanted to be. Growing up. From a young age, brought up obviously in the game from about the age of six, but also rugby league was a big part of my life as well growing up. So
growing up, you had All Blacks posters on the walls. You followed rugby league as well. What was it like when you finally got told that you are going to be an All Black?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really prepare for that moment, but it's certainly something that I remember very, very clearly. I was playing a game of club rugby at the time over in North Harbour, just north of Auckland there, and the All Black coach came to watch me play, dropped the ball, first kickoff, right in front of the coach, so it wasn't a good start.
Were you nervous?
Oh, I was a little bit, yeah. Having Graham Henry there, the great All Black coach British Lions coach there, but got through the game fine, and then he walks up to me afterwards and congratulated me on getting through the game. I was sort of getting over an injury. Hmm. And then he just said to me, mate, we go into camp on the Wednesday. Look forward to seeing you there. So
what'd you do?
No, I it was pretty speechless.
Who's the first person you told?
I told my teammates that I walked off the field. We went straight into the changing room and just sort of announced it to the boys there.
Hey, boys, guess what? Got some good news.
They were stoked because these guys are just... they're labourers, they're builders, they're not professional players. Hmm. So to be able to share that news with them, they were able to share in my excitement.
What, so it was what was great. That
team? Helensville. It's a country club north of Auckland.
And how long was Graham Henry your coach for?
Oh, he was the coach the whole time I was there. Hmm. So that was for 4 years. And I think Graham did 12 years total.
Hmm. And what about when he bumped you? Did you hold it against him? Because it was quite a contentious issue because you were playing quite well.
Yeah. Basically, when I look at it, at some stage you're going to leave the All Blacks, whether it's on good terms or not good terms. And most of the time, it's not on good terms because somebody takes your place.
Yeah.
But that's the reality of being an All Black, and you just got to deal with it and move on. So I buggered off overseas.
Oh, straight to Japan?
I actually went to the UK for 3 seasons.
Okay.
And then to Japan.
Yeah, wow. So what did you prefer, UK or Japan?
I preferred Japan. Purely the type of rugby, the style of rugby is very different.
Yeah.
It's a very fast game. you know, the conditions are perfect in Japan, so it allowed for my position to be, I could express myself more.
Yeah,
well. The game in the UK is obviously a lot slower, a lot more physical, so very different.
Where'd you like living?
I love Japan.
Yeah. What do you love about Japan? Sushi.
Yeah, sushi every day, lunch and dinner.
You're in Osaka?
Yes.
Did you go to America Mura?
Yeah, I did.
You know, it's that little part of town. Where
it's all like American.
Very American influenced. And all the little Japanese kids, they dress up and they get in their cars and they got these black lights on and they play the music loud and they dance around. And you can stand on the street. It's like an Easter parade but with little hipster Japanese dudes going around and so
forth. Oh, it is. You know, you see them there with their baggy jeans and hoodies and caps and they absolutely love it. But you know, another great experience, you know, being in Osaka.
Osaka? Yeah. Ayo gozaimasu. Do you speak any Japanese?
Chotto dake.
Chotto dake, what's that mean?
Just a little bit.
Of course I do. Oh, chotto dake, a little bit.
Chotto dake.
Oh, okay, cool. Hey, order some food right now. Hayo gozaimasu.
Yeah, that's hello. So ordering some food. What about beer? Ordering beer.
Ichi. What do you call it? What's a Japanese beer?
Biru.
Ichikirin?
Yeah, ichikirin. Yeah, one you can get away with it.
Ichikirin, arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah, or onegai shimasu, please. Yeah.
Welcome to the Japanese Rugby Channel. My name is Mike, speaking to Rico Gear. And it's quite lucrative to go over there and play in Japan, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got big companies with the likes that we're all familiar with, Mitsubishi, Honda, Toyota, Coca-Cola, they've all got rugby teams. So,
the brands have rugby teams.
Yeah, so it's all company-based teams.
Oh, wow, that's different.
Kieran the beer, but it's Suntory, so they've got their own rugby team.
Wow.
So that's where you find a lot of, particularly a lot of Aussie boys and New Zealanders are up there, you know, playing in these teams.
You'd rather be playing for the beer team as opposed to like the, you know, the denture team or the...
steel manufacturing team.
The male diaper team. Were there any shit sponsors like that?
They're all pretty good, to be fair. Toshiba, Panasonic, so... There's a lot of benefits there.
All good brands. So what would you say was your career highlight? I guess it would be with the All Blacks. One in particular that I remember was when you were playing against Wales and scored 3 tries. That's pretty epic.
Yeah, for sure. I think my first game for the All Blacks is always, you know, one of the most memorable because you spend your whole life trying to get to that point.
Yeah.
But certainly a favourite moment. Yeah, definitely scoring 3 tries at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. I don't know if you've been, you know, if you've seen that stadium or been to, but they can close the roof and they have, you know, 70,000
indoors.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Supporters in there just singing, and it's a fantastic venue.
They sing nonstop, don't they?
Until we score a few tries. So we know that if we can get up early, we can keep them quiet. But
that shuts them up, doesn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, wow, cool. So what would be one of your favourite matches that you remember where, you know, obviously the All Blacks had such an incredible winning streak back then. What was one of the hardest games that you ever fought that you got through to the end and you won? Was Australia the toughest team?
They're all tough in their own right. Mm. And again, they're tough in different ways. You know, particularly when we play Australia, you know, we talk about the Bledisloe Cup. And at the time, or even to today, New Zealand, we've held it for a very long time. So we know that when we play Australia for that, it's always going to be a tough game because they're just trying to take it off us. So, you know, that adds another element to the battle. And I guess South Africa is the other side that are probably our biggest rival. You know, a little bit like New Zealanders, it's their number one sport. They're born and bred on it. You know, they're crazy about it, patriotic. So playing the South Africans and they're big, as you know, they're huge men.
Mm.
So always a very difficult challenge.
Mm. Where'd you get heckled the most?
Probably Australia.
Yeah. There's nothing like that Kiwi-Australian rivalry, is there?
No, they're not shy on the sidelines, are they, the supporters? I've heard it all out here, but...
Did it ever put you off?
Nah, not at all. Mm. Not at all. I actually enjoyed that side of it because, again, it just adds another pressure element to it and... You know, you don't want it to be easy, so that's the whole point of it all.
It probably psyched you up.
Yeah, you know, it motivates you, but you get to a point where you don't really notice the crowd because you're so focused on your own job and what you need to do on the field.
Speaking of getting motivated and pumped up, tell me about the haka. How does that motivate you for the game? Does that help, or is that just all a song and dance routine?
Yeah, I guess it helps, but it's not going to, you know, determine the way we play the game. It's actually a lot deeper than that. It's actually just more about what goes on behind the scenes in relation to what the haka means to the All Blacks. Mm. And that's probably something we've had over our rivals, is we use the haka as, I guess, a connection tool to the land of New Zealand, to our people. And it's traditional, so very big on tradition. That's another part of it. Mm. You know, it's been there for 100 years, so, you know, carrying on that tradition. And the All Blacks have always been, I think, very forward-thinking in that space, around, you know, what's been before us, what kind of legacy do we leave, how do we leave it in a better place when we move on. So they're very, very thorough in that sort of area.
What are the words saying? Is it something about bringing your ancestors out of the ground to help you fight a battle?
Yep. So there's two All Black hakas now.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had the original one, which was Kamate, which we've all seen. And then I think it was 2005, we introduced a new haka through a good man, Derek Lardelli. He actually did my artwork. So he composed the new haka.
How does that work? Like, do you have a dance session where you're all practicing it and go, hey guys, why don't we try this? Two this way, one that way. I think it'll look awesome.
It's the original, that's where TikTok originated. So we're going to claim that.
Original TikTok was the haka.
So Derek had a relationship with the All Black coaches already, and I knew him. So we got him in, and we just had a number of training sessions to. But the really cool thing about the new haka for the All Blacks was that the old haka, the players felt it didn't relate to the All Black jersey and what we wanted to achieve and all the rest of it. We just did it because it was traditional to do.
But you need to modernise it.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to make something a little more specific for what the All Black brand and the players and the jersey is all about. And the original haka didn't reflect that. So we created this new haka. But it actually came from within. It was actually driven from within the team. And I know Richie McCaw was at the front of that. So he certainly planted that seed, and it grew from there. So an initiative from within, which was great.
What was it like for you leading the haka? Because you led it in a lot of games for the All Blacks. Is that a different feeling to just doing it as a part of the team? And does that signify like the leader, the warrior? I mean, you weren't the captain, but... Are you the second in charge or something? What does that mean to be doing that?
Yeah, obviously the haka is a traditional Māori war dance. So, you know, with me being a New Zealand Māori and someone who, you know, very proud of my culture and where I come from and connection to the culture, I was given the opportunity, which was awesome. And I think it's funny though, because what was more awesome for me was actually my mates telling me how awesome it was.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, I still felt very privileged and proud. But I grew up, a lot of my friends were professional performers in dance and haka and performance.
Okay, yeah.
So for them, that's the ultimate. So tying that together, you know, mate, it was really nice feeling that I could share that with them as well.
Yeah, amazing. What do you think when they've done it in some of the Indigenous games in Australia where they've sort of made up their own version of that? Did you think that was good, or you think, come on, they're just trying to copy New Zealand?
No, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I saw it, I think, for the first time last year, but I saw it in rugby league where the Indigenous boys played the New Zealand Māori side. I think Greg Inglis was at the front of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best thing I've ever seen in terms of traditional haka, both sides. You could just see how deep that sort of ran for both sides.
I think it meant a lot to them when they were doing it as well. I got goosebumps thinking
about
it now. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And
Greg Inglis was standing up and they're all around him. And the look on his face is like ready for battle.
And again, just that real connection to the culture and where their people have come from. And here we are today, you know, expressing our culture on a you know, national, international level. So for me, watching it's great.
Do you think people are more open to that now and more interested in finding out about Indigenous cultures? Like there's a book I was reading recently called Dark Emu, and it's about a lot of the Indigenous cultures in Australia and a lot of things that we weren't taught in schools because it was blocked out by the First Fleet, and, you know, the British that came out here didn't want us to know certain things about Aboriginal culture because they were, you know, they had aquaculture and they had proper farming and storage and some of the stories that we never knew are now coming out. And do you, what do you think about that? And is that happening in New Zealand as well?
Yeah. So, like from an Australian point of view, I mean, it's great because you share the land. You know, you share common interests. Your neighbours. So I think it's just it's great to be able to embrace that. I think. And have that understanding of what's been before. From a New Zealand point of view, we're probably very lucky where we've been through exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But we went through that, you know, 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago, exactly the same thing. So, you know, it does take time.
And do you think we're just going through that now?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So, a little bit behind here in Australia, a little bit backwards.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's a very different, you know, makeup with your states, and it's a massive, as we know, it's a massive country and probably a lot easier to achieve in New Zealand because we're a lot smaller and integrated a lot more. But you know, by all means, when we look back to my grandmother's generation, the same thing, they were not allowed to speak the Māori language.
Yeah, wow.
So a lot of those things were taken away. So it's taken time for that to revive.
I don't know if you've seen the Indigenous map. There's like hundreds of Aboriginal states.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And different areas.
Yeah, and I understand there's a lot of different languages just within the Aboriginal language, right? Yeah, whereas with the Māori language, there's it's generally the same. There's two or three different pronunciation for certain things.
But like I was saying Maori, and I don't know, is that an insult? Māori? No.
Maori.
It's Māori.
Maori or Māori.
Māori.
Yep.
Right.
Either was fine.
Does Mike Tyson think he's a Maori? What do you think of Mike Tyson and his Maori tattoos?
He's anything. But that's, I guess that's where he has credited, you know, it from. Because traditionally the Māori culture, the men were all fully facially tattooed.
Yeah.
But it all had significance. So you were not just allowed to have a tāmoko on your face.
You had to earn it.
You had to earn it, or you had to be a master of something. So that's why you'll find a lot of the patterns are different.
He's a master boxer, I guess so.
He can wear whatever he wants.
That's what he deserves. And what does a tattoo mean on your arm? Is that any significance there?
Yeah, that's just a family one between me and my brother Jose. Yeah. So I've just got the one brother. So we obviously have a very tight bond. And we just wanted something to reflect our culture and our closeness as brothers.
Yeah, nice. And he played for the All Blacks as well. How big was that for you as a family, having two boys who played for the All Blacks?
Yeah, you didn't really think about it, but very, very proud because I certainly played, I'll take credit for playing a big part in his development because I'm 6 years older, so there was quite a big gap there.
So you're a big mentor to him?
Yeah, bully, mentor, just take which one you want.
Is that still happen?
Nah, not now. He's bigger than me, so I've got to be careful. But no, just his, he's very committed. You know, he was actually a basketballer. So when he was 16, we had to make a decision which way you're going to go. So managed to convince him to play rugby.
Okay.
And glad I did.
And what about you? Because you're a big Oklahoma fan.
Yep. Well, we've got a Kiwi boy there, and Adam. So
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Okay. See, so we've got you know, as soon as you've got someone from New Zealand representing our little country,
and you take on that team.
Oh, that's my team.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
right. So that's great to have that there.
Now, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that about your brother. He was a good basketballer. So would he ever consider changing codes, or is he going to stick with rugby now?
Yeah, no, he's fully committed to rugby. He's still a massive, you know, basketball fan, and I know that even when he was a professional player in between seasons, he'd go and play like a little bit of rep stuff, like just to keep his hand in it. But
did you ever contemplate changing codes to rugby league, and how is that seen as an ex All Black to be changing codes? Is that just something you'd never do? Is that like an insult to your country?
It had happened before. So a lot of guys that I looked up to, there was guys like Matthew Ridge, I think Mark Ellis.
Matthew Ridge, great Manly player.
Yes,
Manly
Ridge,
fan.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he was an All Black and then switched to NRL. So from memory, he's probably one of the first to do it.
Yeah, I used to play for Manly.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I was the mascot.
Yeah.
it's playing, like playing along the sidelines. I was the first mascot for the Manly Sea Eagles back in the 80s. My dad was the ground announcer, Grant Goldman, for 30 years.
Yeah, awesome.
My brother was the ball boy, and my sisters were in the cheer squad. I actually hosted the Manly Sea Eagles season launch. Not that there really is a season this year, but only a couple of months ago. So
it was the first team I ever saw live as a young fella. They came out to New Zealand, played Jeff Tuvey, Cliffy Lions. Yeah. Loved it.
They were all there the other night. Yep. So who's your NRL team?
Well, my wife's first cousin married Corey Oates. Hmm. So kind of support the Broncos.
Yeah, right.
So I've got an interest there. My wife's family are from Townsville, so Cowboys country. So take a bit of an interest in the Cowboys. I don't really have one team, but I'll watch as much as I can.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're playing it pretty... you're friends with lots of different players in different teams. You don't want to upset anyone. But we really know it's the Broncos, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll take the Broncos.
Have you done the Bronco? You know, have you seen that training thing that people are doing that's on social media at the moment?
I haven't done it.
Is it called a Bronco? Is that what they call it?
The fitness test?
Yeah.
I've coached it, but I've never done it.
Oh, so you've got to, basically, if you don't know what this is, you've got to run 20, and then you run 40, and then you run 60.
Yeah.
Up and back, and you have to do as many times as you can in 5 minutes?
No, you've got to do five sets. And then whatever time you do it in.
5 sets and do it as quick as you can.
Yep.
And people are posting it in I think the best time was about 4 minutes 20 or something.
That's about right.
Yeah. So how fast do you think you could do it? Maybe we put the call out now and we get a video of you doing it. I could have a crack.
I've got a bad knee.
I thought you were as fit as ever from taking the Isagenix.
Yeah. I'd give it a crack, I suppose. But, tough test.
Okay, Rico Gear, I challenge you. I'm going to do it too.
Oh, I've got to lose some weight then.
Let's see how we go.
Carrying too much. But it's if you can get under 5 minutes, then you're traveling pretty well.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So that's generally a target 5-minute Bronco.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try and get the 5-minute Bronco happening.
5 minutes be good.
And if you can do it, do the video and post it in the comments section. And if you can beat us, we'll give you a prize. It's probably going to send me broke. Say. So how's your training schedule now?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Mm. Are you fit?
Oh, I do look after myself. You know, I was always one of those guys that when I finished playing rugby, I didn't want to go downhill too much and end up with a dead bod. And but again, old habits. So, you know, I was a professional for 17 years. Mm. So that's a long time in any profession. So I guess that, you know, a part of that still carries on and, you know, generally keep fit as much as I can.
How do you go from earning hundreds of thousands of dollars as a professional sports player to the end of your career thinking, okay, how am I going to pivot? How am I going to create something new? And what did you do?
Yeah, a challenging time for any pro athlete in any sport that's been in the game for that long. And that's exactly right. You go from, you know, a really large income to just your normal, you know, salary that you know, you expect when you get a job. So I went straight in. I was lucky. I transitioned into a rugby administration coaching job in my hometown. It was worth about 50 grand a year or whatever, but, you know, got a car. And
there's money on the table. And you're still getting invited to big events and, you know, you probably still had a few little sponsorship deals on the side.
Yeah, so the transition was good for me. It was still a shock to the system, but very fortunate that I had the opportunity to move in and stay in that space of rugby and particularly in my hometown. But I think, you know, through my whole career, I was very lucky. I had a very good team. Financial team around me, so I was very wise with investments and property and all that.
So do people help you with that as a part of the All Blacks training? Do they say, okay, we're going to have another meeting with some financial professionals that will tell you how to plan ahead for the future?
Yeah, over the years, you had different people come in and out, but taking action, you know, is always different. A lot of boys wouldn't even do it. So, but I was lucky enough that I had people outside of that to you know guide me while I was playing, and which meant I could just concentrate on rugby and not worry too much about you know the investments and all that sort of stuff.
And do a lot of them just say, "Oh, you know, I'm going to be fine," and they get this vibe that this money is going to be there forever. Is that what happens to a lot of players?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially you're a young guy and you come into the game, and all of a sudden you've got a whole lot of money, and you hear it in the NFL and stuff, and if you've got no support or no direction in terms of where you want to do that and how you want to preserve and grow your wealth while you're still playing, it's just going to go out the window. You know, and I know a lot of our Māori and Pacific Island boys, a lot of us, you know, we give to family and churches and all that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, that's all very well. But I think the other half of it, you know, has never really been, there hasn't been a lot of support in that area. And I know it's probably a lot better today, but I think there's still room for improvement.
So speaking of money, the state of rugby union around the world is in a bit of a mess right now. I mean, Australia wasn't going so well. It wasn't run very well before. They were almost going broke. And now I just heard a report the other day after they sacked their current CEO that this year, if they don't play, they stand to lose $120 million. I've already heard reports of the All Blacks, who aren't even planning an international season next year. They're planning a local domestic season. What have you heard, and what do you think will happen in the future? I mean, it seems like at this current point in time, I mean, especially New Zealand just announced COVID-19 is in the clear and they're going to start opening things up again. What do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the product, Super Rugby, you know, we've changed it a couple of times now from Super 18, Super 15, Super 12 when I was playing, and, you know, I think it's lost its appeal a little bit. You know, whether that's got to do with broadcasting and everyone enjoying it from the comfort of home, and I think that's had a part to play. So it certainly probably hasn't helped the game itself, but I think the product itself is probably getting a bit tiresome with viewers, you know, seeing the same thing over and over again. And I think with Europe and the professional game up there, it's probably diluted our competition a little bit. We see a lot of our top players moving up there to play.
Yeah.
So again, the product is just sort of, you know, it's not as appealing, I don't think.
So do you think that the super system is basically draining the whole sport of cash?
Yeah,
I think it needs to be canned.
Yeah, I think so. Well, there's got to be some sort of change, and maybe now's the opportunity for that. And like with the likes of New Zealand, looking at maybe a more of a domestic competition. I know that Steve Hansen was pushing for more of a global season, where it's integrated a lot more for a certain part of the year, and then you come back to your domestic stuff. And I know that Australia Rugby are looking at integrating a club, semi-professional club type system, which I think is probably going to be a better idea because it makes it more tribal. You know, you've got clubs throughout, particularly in Queensland where we are here, you know, they've got a lot of history and a lot of support, and you've grown up within the club. And if we can take that to the next level and just start there, I mean, that's going to be great for Australia Rugby. But
So you got some big plans ahead with coaching. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about this because this is all pretty top secret, and I might be involved as well. You're going to be doing this incredible new app that is groundbreaking. It works with AI and it teaches people how to pass the ball better, how to kick the ball better, how to be an all round better rugby player. You must be excited about this.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, the tool that's going to be available to, you know, to everyone aspiring to participate in rugby to some form, whether you're a beginner, an intermediate, or even an expert. There's going to be some really good coaching tips and videos there, and you're going to have the ability to upload your footage, and it's going to be analysed, and it's going to help you improve, you know, with the AI, so artificial intelligence. It's really next level stuff.
And how will that work? Like, it will be able to read how you're passing the ball,
and
tell you what you're doing wrong. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is, and it's and if you're not quite getting it right, it's going to be able to, you know, basically coach you. And you're not going to basically be able to move on until you've got it right. So it's a really good tool for
developing. Like a video game, but you're the character.
That's it.
And you've got to do it right to get to the next level.
That's it.
Kids are going to love it. I mean, you train a lot of kids at the moment in your coaching clinics. And also, what's the school on the Gold Coast you teach at?
TSS.
TSS, that's right. And how are the teams going there, you're coaching?
Yeah, TSS, you know, very, very proud, you know, rugby school. it was great to be a part of that and seeing what the GPS competition's like in Queensland.
Yeah.
So that's our elite rugby competition for schoolboys here. Mm. And generally those boys will filter through to the Australian representative sides and then generally into the Reds.
Yeah, wow.
Some go on to Brumbies. And
there's some good upcoming talent. You want to give them a shout out? they don't deserve it.
Well, they've got to earn it still. It's still a bit early for them.
Come on, give a shout out to your students, will you?
Oh, there's too many. They're all watching this.
Say something to the TSS kids.
Well, boys, I know that you'd all been hanging out for the season, like we all have. So hopefully it looks like July, you know, I think it's July, might be the opportunity for us to start. So, you know, good luck for that and we'll see you soon.
Excellent. And how do you like working with the youngsters and training them and showing them all your tips and things that you learnt over the years playing with the All Blacks and all over the world?
Yeah, I mean, that age group, you know, that 16 to 18 sort of age group, 15-year-olds, those boys are, you know, they're developing as young men and they all have aspirations and they're all keen. So they're sponges, and that's what you want as a coach. You know, it's great to be able to have guys that are really serious about what they do. Mm. And then you get to see that on a sad day and, you know, kick their ass or pat them on the back.
And do they ask you a lot of questions about playing for the All Blacks and do they get inspiration from that?
Yes, some of them do, but you know, I wouldn't say overly a lot. Mm. Just like anything, you get a lot of boys that will ask questions about how to get better. Some guys will just get on with it, and you know, you've got to give them feedback. Mm. So yeah.
So your wife was a bit of a sports star in her own right.
Netballer,
basketballer.
Yeah. She was a junior Australian schoolgirl netballer, and then she was a basketballer. So I think she was one of the youngest to play. And the women's, is it NBL?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
women's NBL here.
WNBL.
WNBL.
Yeah.
And then she spent 4 years at college in America, captain Boston College for a couple of years.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so she had a great experience there as an elite basketballer and, you know, loved it.
And now she looks after your two little boys?
Yeah, we've got a little girl and a little boy.
Little girl and a little boy.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So keep us busy.
Not that I've seen photos and thought they were boys. I just knew you had two kids. Yeah, cool, man. How's it going being a dad?
Yeah, no, I've absolutely love it. You know, we've got a couple of good kids. My in-laws are, you know, based on the Gold Coast, so that's brought us out here. And
excellent.
Just enjoying it.
Excellent. And she's doing a bit of work as well in sports medicine or isogenics, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah, isogenics. Yeah, right. So we have a you know, very good nutrition, you know, plan for weight loss and athletes with performance. Mm. So we've certainly been a part of, you know, the company for about 5-6 years and helping people with their fitness results and nutrition.
Yeah, what is isogenics? I've heard about it, but yep. I don't know anyone who's taken it. What does it do? Is it just, is it like protein powder or what's the deal? Is it training programs?
It's... in itself, it's all your protein, it's all your vitamins, minerals, stress relief, energy shots, fat burners. So everything just for your health and wellness. There's a fasting component, so intermittent fasting.
Right, which, I've started doing that yep. Every now and again. Like I'll only do the intermittent fasting where I don't eat from like midday until midday the next day.
Yeah,
and I actually feel like it's cleansing out my body. I'm doing a little bit of research on it. I don't know a lot about it. Yep. You know a lot about that kind of thing.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's and to me, it just makes sense, you know, giving the digestive system a reset and rest. Mm. But at the same time, cleaning out that, you know, the visceral fat is what the cleansing targets, which is the dangerous fat that we don't see. So cleansing is certainly an important part of the isogenics makeup.
Does that come from, you know, thousands of years ago when we were hunter-gatherers, when we were hungry and our senses are becoming more alert because we have to go on the hunt for food and it's your body, you know, working at an optimal level to be able to exist and survive. Is that where the fasting idea comes from and how it works, do you think?
I think that's an element of it, but I think actually the main part of it is, you know, back then we never had all these different toxins and pesticides and we never had all these processed foods and... So now we're exposed to all these different things, you know, all that stuff enters our body to some degree. So the cleansing and fasting to get the toxins out, you know, it makes sense.
Mm. They throw some pretty wicked parties, those isogenics people. Was it like you were telling me a story, Maroon 5 played once at one of their events and Anthony Robbins showed up. Yep. What's the story?
Yeah, Flo Rida was the other one.
What?
I know, it's crazy. They do it well. But we had a big conference in Las Vegas, 16,000 people at the Isagenics conference.
16,000?
I know, it was amazing.
Whoa.
You wouldn't think you could fit that many people in a conference room. Yeah, wow. But like America, they do everything in size. So
Caesar's Palace, I'm sure they've got a conference room that big.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
And she's still going with that and it's going well?
Yeah, so we've got a nice little business there set up and we help others build a business online.
Mm.
So that was probably the big appeal for me coming out of professional rugby. Mm. We jumped straight into Isagenics as well at the time. Very low startup, to get involved and very low overheads, but untapped potential in terms of earning potential. Mm. So that was certainly appealing for me coming out of professional rugby.
And how do people contact you guys if they want to get involved and they want to try it out?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Beck Gear, or you can, private message me, Rico Gear, on Instagram. That's probably the easiest way to flick you some info.
Rico Gear, thank you for being on the show. It's been a great chat.
Yes.
I think we covered everything. Anything we haven't talked about here? I'm excited about the app.
Yeah, I mean,
can't wait to see it. Is they announced what it's going to be called yet, or is that all top secret?
I don't want to keep it a secret.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be working with some of the biggest sports stars around the world. And yes. This training program is going to be incredible.
Yes.
And good luck with it, mate.
No, we're looking forward to it. And hopefully, we can get that launched, soon.
Legendary All Black Rico Gear, straight out of the Gold Coast and on the mic. Thanks, mate.
Yep, thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Good on you, dude. Cool.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.